day late, but not a dollar short. I'm here with Kim.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Gloucester Cash 220.
Oh, seriously? Wow.
Yes, an even number. No cake to celebrate 220, though. 220, just the day after the Oscars.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was really... I thought it was pretty outstanding. There was some mishaps.
So...
a major mishap.
So we're going to get a little bit into it. So I personally love... I love award shows, and I love award shows. I love to watch the... It may seem strange that a dock worker loves to watch the fashion on the red carpet and see the interviews and everything else. And I love to hear the monologues. I didn't get to see a lot of movies this year, so I wasn't so vested in who won or lost.
Right.
But I love to hear like the announcers and you know the Jimmy like. This year it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Didn't you think he was... I thought he did an outstanding job.
So, Kate does not like to watch award shows. Right. So, we compromised, and I watched the pre-show with her. And while she tells me that she hates award shows and she doesn't understand why anybody would watch the pre-show, she was glued to the... and had a comment for every outfit. She had a comment, and she was glued to it while telling me that she can't stand award shows. So I didn't get to watch the Oscars, and I'm so remiss. Well, I saw it this morning on YouTube, thankfully for YouTube, and I posted it on the blog, what happened with the mishap for Best Picture... why don't you explain it? Because I didn't understand how it... I saw it, but I thought that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway were the people to blame for the mistake.
No, no.
But you came in and you explained... I didn't hear any of the news people announcing what actually happened. So set up the whole thing.
So you're watching it and they announce La La Land... And
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway look at the card.
They look at the card, and Warren keeps looking back at Faye Dunaway, looking down, looking up, because he's this huge long pause, and I think people thought he was trying to be funny or suspenseful or whatever. But and
Faye Dunaway kind of like says to him, "Just read it already."
Right, and then doesn't she sort of grab it?
He gives it to the card to her because I think that he didn't want to have responsibility fucking it up.
No, I think he was totally confused because he recognized something was wrong.
Right, and then she blurts out,
"La La Land."
La La Land.
Right, so they all come up on the stage. And then during the, during their accolades, when they're saying, their thank yous, you see all this scurrying going on behind and, like this kind of push-pull going on behind.
Push-pull, and then if you look at the video, the camera pans like to the ceiling because they have these executives with headphones on the stage. They're giving three different people from La La Land had given acceptance speeches.
Right.
And while the third guy is giving his acceptance speech from La La Land, you see the executive and they're scurrying around, the big cast, and then the guy that had just finished giving the third acceptance speech out of the group says, "By the way, we didn't win."
Right, and then. So the guy who gave the first acceptance speech, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, he just said, "There's been a big mistake, and Moonlight won. Seriously, come on, this is no joke.
This is not a joke." He kept saying it like four times. He says, "This isn't a joke."
Right.
Because it was so surreal and unbelievable.
Over the top.
And then he got the card, the right card.
Right.
And where I was mistaken, I thought he had the card in his hand and he kind of looked at it halfway through. It's like, "Oh shit, we didn't win."
Right.
Like Warren must have misread it, but that wasn't the case.
Right.
They had.
So
the production company
is on either side of the stage, giving the actors the cards to read. Well, and then And then the other one on the other side of the stage is supposed to get rid of that card. Well, they didn't get rid of that card, and that's the one that they gave, which had the previous award.
Had Emma Stone for La La Land.
For La La Land. That's what.
That's why Warren was confused.
Yeah, he was so. He didn't want to. He was so reluctant to read it.
Right.
Right. So he had been given. They had been given the wrong card. So it was. It's totally on the production company.
It's on the production company, but. I completely recluse. My first thought was Warren Beatty fucked this up. Looking back at it, I still say that Faye Dunaway shares a little bit of responsibility because she announced it instead of saying, "I want to make sure of this."
Right.
Because he didn't announce
it. Right.
Warren Beatty did not announce it.
Right.
Faye Dunaway went forward looking at it.
Right.
The card that she had said Emma Stone La La Land.
Right.
Should have
right, and
pulled up and said, wait a second, I just want to make sure of this.
And also, Warren Beatty has a lot more experience giving out the awards, so and she doesn't. Like, we don't see her very often.
Right,
it's kind of odd to see her. So I think that that's why he recognized that there was a problem and why he was so reluctant to read it. But she was just like, you know.
We got to get this out. Right. We got to get this. She thought he was lollygagging around.
Right.
She's like, come on. And they have things in their ear.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's go. They must have, right?
Oh, I don't
maybe
know
not.
That.
Maybe
I
not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, actually, probably not.
Yeah, because that would be so distracting.
Do you know if Warren Beatty's still married to Annette Bening?
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That marriage has lasted,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they have kids.
I'm kind of surprised.
You know, beautiful kids, and I think it's a very solid marriage. But you never know.
Yeah, who knows? Listen, nobody knows
right.
what's going
nobody
on.
Nobody knows, but they seem to have a lot of mutual love and respect towards each other. And
well, that's great.
That's really sweet.
Henry Fonda, and who's Henry Fonda with for right to the end?
Yeah.
You don't remember that? I'm surprised you don't remember. No. On Golden Pond.
Yeah, what was it?
Didn't he play with her in Golden Pond? His wife was in that?
His daughter. Henry Fonda.
Oh, that was his daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Henry Fonda and Jane Fonda is his daughter.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah,
if you missed it, you missed.
Right.
How did you. So, rate Jimmy Kimmel's job of being an MC. Compared to Billy Crystal. And,
I
think Chris
him a
Rock.
9 or 10. He's right up there. He was very funny. He wasn't mean. There was no like mean spiritedness.
Like the guy from The Office, the English version of The Office.
What's his name? Ricky.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. No, it wasn't anything like that. He did do his funny shtick that he does from his show, Mean Tweets, which was funny, but it wasn't super mean.
Mm-hmm.
He has like a fake rivalry with Matt Damon.
Right.
So
right.
they did a lot
played
of
up that
yeah,
a little
played
bit.
That up a lot. That was pretty funny. And
Ricky Gervais did it a couple of years ago, and he was really brutal to the actors. And it was extremely funny.
It was funny, but
The Oscars are something are kind of like the presidency. You want it to be
a celebratory,
classy, and really. I thought, even though I really enjoyed it, I like, when you look back at it, you kind of want to hold certain things to be special. Like the King and Queen of England, you know what I mean? You want it there should be things that are revered
and elevated.
Yeah.
Well, it was, I have to give the, speaking of classy, I have to give the people of the La La Land cast a lot of credit because they were unbelievably classy and gracious in how they
handled that. Well, so looking at the video afterwards, you could tell like they had been on the award show thing, they travel like Sundance or whatever they go
right.
from different
the
Golden Globes. These people partying together in the same rooms, so they it seems like they're like, oh, my friends from the the guy from, what was the black show, the movie?
Moonlight.
The people from Moonlight said, we love those guys too. We've been through, on this journey together. So it was a very nice thing.
It was a very good thing. I haven't seen Moonlight, unfortunately. But I think it's the first time, and it's really, the main themes are about LGBT issues. And I think it's the first time.
Was it? So it wasn't about a young kid that was... and born into a drug the parents were druggies and they were raised by the
if I'll reread the synopsis. I haven't seen it, so I don't want to talk.
Okay.
I don't want to talk out of turn there.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see it either. Yeah. Anyway, I watched, the pre-show that I watched was on E.
Yeah.
And Ryan Seacrest was doing the interviews.
Oh, he was the host. Okay.
And it was a very stark contrast to when Melissa Rivers was there and she would just shit on everybody. you know, he was asking, you could tell his questions were very researched and classy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the ABC one and it was really well done. And it was, you know, a wide range of, you know, people giving, you know, talking.
Who do you think was the most stunning?
Let's see. I loved Emma Stone's dress. I really liked Emma Stone's dress.
I liked the black woman. She had the black, and almost like a velvet dress with a plunging neckline, high slit, and she had the gorgeous diamond necklace that came down.
Who was that one?
Oh, Christ. She was in the Hidden Figures movie. I don't know what her name was. And then there was another woman that I just saw a picture of her, and I didn't know her name, but she was wearing like a white, really kind of, God, I shouldn't even say it if I don't know the girl's name. But she had really pretty makeup, very dark hair. Looked a little bit like Kate. Really pretty. It's stupid for me to say without knowing the name. But I'm going to say the black lady.
You can find the picture.
Yeah, yeah. You fill right down.
I was really, really happy to see that La La Land did win for Best Cinematographer. So I thought that was a super well-deserved award.
Okay, here another woman's name. Oh, look at Taraji. Henson.
You're talking about. Oh,
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's on that.
She's not
show.
A young woman. I don't think she's a young woman either.
No, and what's that TV show she's on? You know.
I don't know.
It's on Fox, right?
Or, oh, really?
Oh, it's, you know
really
what it is.
Woman. Oh, here's the other one.
You know what her name is.
This one right here, Haley Steinfeld, that was the dress that I was doing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really, I love the embroidery on that.
Haley Steinfeld and Taraji P. Henson.
Wait, you know what show she's on. The show about music and...
Let me see.
Yeah.
She is right here. They don't say the show she's on. Oh, this lady was really pretty, too. Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe. She's a fabulous musician.
She was pretty. So there you go. Yeah. That guy's a good-looking guy. People can't see what we're talking about.
Right.
So there you go.
There's our
wrap-up. You want to talk about a little bit about the winners?
Yeah, Casey Affleck.
Oh, from Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, she won for Best Actor. And another really great one was... Damien Chazelle, and he won for Best Director, and he for Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he is the youngest to ever win an Oscar for Best Director. He's only 30 years old.
You know, I remember when they were filming here, and I was talking to Meg Montanino, who worked closely with these people, she's part of this Film K band group, and, you know, she does a lot of, acts like a community liaison as far as sourcing locations and putting stuff in front of these people. And she was telling me, like, the budget for that film was incredibly, slim.
Right.
It was not a big budget
It wasn't
thing
super big.
At all.
I don't remember what that was, but then I'm sure I can't imagine what La La Land was. But then the one that won, Moonlight, was only $1.5 million, which is really, 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 really low.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Well, it's nice to see that you don't have to spend a fortune to...
Yeah.
You know, it's really based on the merits of the acting and everything else.
And also Emma Stone won for Best Actress, and she was in La La Land.
La La Land.
Yeah. And then, the Best Cinematographer was Linus Sandgren, and he was La La Land. We talked about this before, about some of the amazing...
Cinematographer was La La Land?
La La Land, yeah.
We thought that that would be a winner.
Yeah.
I mean, without having seen it, I thought that that was going to be a winner. I'm going to tell you this. I was in my car yesterday, and I was thinking about the show notes, and we were talking about the... And I was saying to myself, I was saying to myself during the podcast that, you know, they were saying that La La Land was supposed to be the winner. But in my head, I was saying, you know, because of the... I'm so cynical. I'm so cynical.
Yeah.
I was saying in my head that I feel like they're going to give it to, you know, a black cat, like a one of these black films.
La La Land was up for 14 nominations, and they won 6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Manchester by the Sea was up for a lot. I don't know if it's political correctness so much as...
I feel like everything's a pendulum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like the next election, the Democrats are a shoo-in because we've gone so far with this president.
We've gone so far to the right.
You know, and then if we get some hardcore liberal, like the following year, may go back the other way.
Right, then we'd go back.
Like, you know, I feel like everything is a pendulum.
Right.
Everything's backlash and reactionary rather than...
I don't think it's always been this way, though, do you? I mean...
No. Swing not like
so
not like
far,
lately.
You know what I mean? Swing
everything's
so far.
Everything's so polarizing.
Yeah.
So we had this... are we done with the Oscar talk?
Yes, we can be done.
Okay, we can be done. a big topic in my life was this, the whole soccer scoring thing.
Yeah, that was... I thought the comments on your post were interesting as well, and I was glad to see that person, it's a man named Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly.
Yes, Kelly wrote exactly why he felt he had to do that.
Big ex-football player.
Right. Oh, he is. What did they call it? What did he call it? February cabin fever?
Yeah, cabin fever months or something like that.
Yeah.
To back up the story is like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we noticed that at our Danvers Indoor Soccer, which is like the highlight of my week, to go to see my daughters play soccer indoors. This facility is so beautiful, so well done, so well run. And then we noticed that the scoreboards were keeping the time but not keeping the score. When the teams were scoring, they weren't adding to the score. And we just chalked it up to it being like a malfunction that the ref
wasn't able to do it.
And that come to find out 3 weeks later, as it turns out, that there was such this time of the year, the owner of this facility feels that there was parents and coaches were like, there was a lot of like tension from being cooped up, I guess. And when the scores were really close at the end of the games, especially, like, parents were like yelling at refs and yelling at coaches and coaches yelling at players and I just, so he said that, you know, to keep the tensions away, they figured that to not post the scores for a little while. And I just don't see the correlation. There's a couple different points. In the 6 years or so that I've watched soccer with my daughters, I have not seen this.
How old are your daughters?
Exactly. 11, 9 and 11.
11.
Okay, so I haven't seen it personally.
Right.
But speaking to people that actually in our group of, you know, the soccer chicks, Hamilton Wyndham soccer chicks, these other parents said that they had definitely have seen it.
Yeah.
So for me to say it doesn't have, like, I this right. is, it doesn't happen, have, it does yeah, happen. I just haven't seen it. So I was wrong on that point.
Yeah.
I don't get the correlation between not posting the scores and parents being assholes.
Do you think people are still keeping score? People are still keeping score anyway.
Oh, people are definitely keeping score, and there are wins and losses and stuff still. But I don't like. So my point is, I think that the most aggressive asshole parent that does yell at the refs, first of all, there should be a zero tolerance policy. That person should not be there, should get banned from the place. Right, in my opinion, like you swear a ref, you swear publicly at one of these games at a ref or yell aggressively, you should be removed and you can't come back. You're
you
done.
Can't come back.
Okay, that's the way I would handle it.
Right, I agree that.
Okay,
I
think that like if you think that like not posting the scores is going like those aggressive parents, believe me, if they're like stat into the game, they know what the score is anyway.
Right.
So I don't think that's the going to affect them.
Maybe it's a warning to.
What was interesting in the comments to me was how, like, as far as the comments that came in, the rhetoric that was used in the comments, it was almost like there are people in my life that are hardcore conservative, and there are people in my life that are hardcore liberal. I already knew what my hardcore conservative friends were going to say, and I already knew, after the first couple of my hardcore liberal friends, it was like what they said was out of a manual.
Yeah.
It was like what they have read in the participation award manual of what you're supposed to say back to conservatives. Like it was almost word for word, each one of them.
On both sides, right.
Of what you're supposed to say in this situation, which was very disappointing to me. because I was just like, Paul Morrison and Anna Eve, you know, it's just like right down the line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, this is so we all, you know, Chris Sanderson, you know, it's like if you read their comments, they have like the same sentence in every one of their things.
I'll go back and read that.
And then on the other side, let's say we're raising a bunch of pussies, you know what I mean? It's like the same rhetoric from the conservatives. I just wish people could just
thoughts. I did agree with you about it's not right to penalize the kids who, it's just not right, by not keeping the score. But on the other hand, the person who's running the place, he's probably pretty darn fed up with parents out of control, and he's reaching into his box of trying to find some ways to
to him, actually. Yeah. You know, in the end, this guy's running a first class operation.
Yeah,
right. Today's society, everything is insurance companies and liabilities and everything. And you know what I mean? And everything else. Like this guy has a huge facility with a huge, probably, you know, not there.
Yeah.
That he has to protect his investment.
Right.
So you got to do what you got to do to make sure that people are safe and everything else. It's sad that, to me, it's sad that it's come to this.
Yeah, and he doesn't, and you're right. But maybe he doesn't want, you know, somebody get seriously injured just to have that happen.
Well, he went back to, you know, he went back in his thing and cited, you know, 10 years ago, this hockey dad, murdered someone.
Right, was out of control.
I mean, do we always... do we go... You know what I mean? Like, there's always... there's always crazies. You know what I mean?
Right, there's always one example. But I don't know, just, like, in Alex's... it all stems from the coach. So, like, when Alex was playing soccer all through high school, he had a fantastic coach, Coach Curley. And Coach Curley really set the bar really high for the parents and for the kids about being respectful to the other teams. But we would get and this is even, you know, not even in a private facility. You would
people
get certain
would say
coaches.
Nasty things.
You would get coaches who would scream at their own kids, scream at, you know, the other kids. I mean, just screaming. And those teams also had parents that were screaming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the coach, from, you know, the bar that he sets for the team and for the parents. So, you know, if that is the situation, the Kelly person, I would like have a meeting with all the coaches and say, you know, it's up to you to get your teams, you know, your parents, your particular parents and your kids and everybody just
understand, you know, this is the way we're running this show.
And be overall more respectful. I mean, there's always going to be that fun, you know, back and forth, but not to the degree that kids go home crying because an adult yelled at them.
That's a great point. So we went back yesterday in the game. They did have the scores back on the scoreboard. They're back up.
Maybe it was.
He said it was going to be a trial thing during the vacation weeks.
Right.
So that people could.
Oh, boy.
get normal again. Oh, God almighty. So I'm sorry to say, you know, you told me, you know, a couple days ago about Rosie.
Yeah.
Your dog, Rosie, who, you know, if you follow the blog, you know, Kim had a cat, Cosmo, and the black terrier. It was a terrier?
Black kitty, Cosmo, and our black Scottish terrier, Rosie.
Rosie.
Her name is Miss Rosie Moneypenny, after a character in the Ian Fleming James Bond books. So Olivia named her Miss Rosie Moneypenny is her full name.
Is Miss Moneypenny, is there in the Bond movies, is her name
is it Rosie?
No, first name?
It's Rosie.
Oh, okay.
She just combined it all.
That's tremendous. Well, our cat was named Mr. J.J. Jingle Nuts. So
that's cute.
Yeah, but so you've come to a thing where he's...
Yeah, Rosie has lymphoma, and which is, you know, it's an incurable version of it. I don't think any of it's curable, but it's in her T cells, and it's incurable. So we just have to have made some hard choices. She's on steroids right now, but she's only been on steroids for the last couple of days, and they're not making her feel very well. So I got to figure out what to do next. So
very difficult.
Yeah. So our daughter was here this weekend, and it was like Rosie weekend. We just
How old is Rosie?
She's only seven. So
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Liv is how old?
Liv is 27. So
she's 20.
Yeah. So yeah, she was in college because. Our other dog had passed away, and our beautiful little Mr. McDaisy had passed away, and Liv was at BU, and every day she was sending me emails from this site called The Daily Puppy, and it was this really cute site, which just, so there she is, a little student at BU, telling me I'm supposed to get a puppy, right? So one day I saw a little Scottish Terrier on the site, and I, you know, like after the third day, I like clicked it on, and there she was, and she was at a little farm in Connecticut. And
wow, you drove down to Connecticut.
Yep, Liv and I jumped in the car.
Wow.
And jumped to Connecticut.
Wow.
And you know, she's just been the light of our life because she's just a very. And she's so beloved by the by the neighborhood.
Well, you
kids.
Get the girl, the East Gloucester
dog
kids,
walkers, they all come by, you know, a couple times a week to walk her, and you know, all different groups of kids come by.
Do the kids know that she's sick?
Only Lotus knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lotus and Rosie have a little special bond. So, yeah. So.
Oh, so sad. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah.
Tough.
Our beloved pets. Huh?
7 years old.
Yeah, that's
too
so
young.
Young.
Don't dogs usually last like 12 years?
Well, Scottish Terriers, I've learned, have a little bit shorter lifespan, but this kind of lymphoma, the oncologist told me, is very prevalent in Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, and Scottish Terriers. So,
7 years is tough because just enough time to do so attached,
still,
and then 7 years like boom.
And she's still, but she's still so young, and you know, vital, and you know, she's just a very happy, happy little dog. So.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Such an easy little love. Like I never got her spayed because I always thought, oh, we'll have puppies. And
how is she gonna have a puppy?
She can't now. I mean, she can't now. But I mean, we were thinking about breeding her just because she had this amazingly sweet little personality. So we never got her spayed.
You'd have to find another.
We'd have to find another Scottish Terrier. And I realized it's kind of like a job unto itself breeding dogs. So that's why we never, pursued it. So
it's gonna be tough.
So, but her personality is just very unique. Very, very good.
Oh, man. Yeah, my daughters enjoyed her when they hung out with you. Very sad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we have other good wildlife things going on.
A lot of good turkeys.
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 The turkeys. So I wrote a funny, I think it's a little bit funny, about my post tonight is turkey bromance.
Bromance. All right.
Because I noticed when I was photographing them that the guys were kind of palling around together, and they're
how do you know what's a tom and what's not a tom?
Okay, so the tom is all puffed up with the big tail feathers and the and they have the big flap of skin underneath the neck called a wattle. Then they have the little cone on the top of their head that, when they're excited, it droops down, and that's called a snood. Ooh. And it's really all in the snood. That's what the girls are looking for. Ooh. The longer the snood, the more attractive. So anyway, so it was really interesting. Like, you would think, like, other male turkeys would be fighting, but the male turkeys work together. And so the ones that, the actual ones, and biologists have studied this, the ones that work together create a lot more offspring than if it's just a single guy running around. Because turkeys, unlike most birds, don't form male-female bonds. They form male only, the males form bonds with each other, and the females solitarily raise the poults, raise the babies. The males don't have anything to do with it. So anyway, so there'll be a story about it tonight. But it's very interesting. It's happening.
Now, do you already know this? When you get a picture of a bird or a certain thing, then you go in and research it?
So it's both. Like, sometimes, like, I'm looking for something, you know. Other times, like with this, when I was out there photographing and filming them, I was like, wow, this is so interesting. Why are the males, like, not duking it out here? Why are they, like, they look like they're conferring? I mean, it's the weirdest thing. And then they would have this chain reaction of calls across the marsh. Oh, wow. And I was just like, wow, this is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So then I would just, I Google around and find out more information. So
where were these the turkeys that you'd built?
The turkeys are in the Good Harbor Beach Marsh.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So I'm driving along, and I see, like, all these giant brown lumps, and I'm like, what on earth is that? So I pull over, and then I drove around, after I figured out what they were, I went to the backside of the marsh and got really close, so... It was really interesting. So,
oh my god!
I hope there are not too many turkey pictures tonight.
I'm looking for your post so I can link to it.
Is it called Turkey Bromance? It is scheduled. It might be in drafts. It's still in drafts.
Okay.
It's still in drafts.
All right. I'll get back to that. Try to add it to the show notes afterwards. Yeah. We really good feedback from Paprika Grill. People are still following up and giving that guy business, which is great.
I was in there the other day, and they were, I left it for an $8 falafel. I left a $10 tip. I saw the person before me leave a $10
tip.
Great. Yeah,
that's great.
So not only is it business, but people are, and this was like 4 days later.
That's awesome.
This, I think that was the third time we've been there in 4 days. So
I gotta get there.
The falafel is just
to die for. I love it.
Well, it's something you can't get anywhere else around here. So
he seems like he has little specials too.
Yeah.
Like he's pretty active on his Facebook page. He posts pictures of different things.
Because
you might not know by the name of something like Chicken Adana. What's Chicken Adana? I don't know how I have to know what it is, what it's going to look like before I order it. And his Facebook page is a lot of examples of his food.
I think he was making lamb Adana the other day.
Lamb Adana.
It's like
they form it around a skewer.
The skewer, right.
And then they cook it over the grill.
Yeah, it was really interesting to watch. Mm. And he was doing fabulously, because he was like, he kept flipping that while he was making salads for everybody else. And
he's no joke.
He worked in
New York at one of these Turkish places.
Interesting. Huh.
Talk to him about that. Feather and Wedge is doing brunch on Saturday and Sundays from 11 to 2.
Have you been there?
I'm getting there. I'm planning to go there with Kate
this weekend.
Okay,
good. I saw your post from
the Franklin.
Yeah.
The Franklin. You know,
we go there.
How many times can we say that we're so blessed and to have places like Duckworth's and Passports and the Franklin and the Emerson Inn, Pigeon Cove Tavern, and this. But they're so They're especially, they're so gracious and so nice and so friendly.
Yes,
so unassuming, yeah. Just like passports, just like Duckworth's. I mean, we just...
Right, just unassuming.
It's just
right.
So... Right. So when we haven't gone to one of these places in a while,
and then
I feel like I need to put it like a post with a picture. Like, have you... Do you remember?
Right.
Do we have... Because Tonto just opened, right? It's great, right? Like, so we go to Tonto a bunch.
Right.
Or we go to this place a bunch. You're like... Don't forget the Franklin, because the Franklin's still doing what awesome things they were doing 7 years ago. They're still kicking butt and doing stuff. So
and people should know about the Franklin that it's open late. So if you want to go to the theater or the movie, you can stop at the Franklin afterwards and have dinner, which Tom and I like to do. I think that's really fun to do, as long as it's not like, you know, super, super late. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's just a fun thing to do, to like have a whole night out, not just... go to the movie and then come home, or you know what I mean? It's really nice to go to a show and have dinner out. So
Kate and I went to press for breakfast yesterday in Magnolia on Lexington Ave.
How was that? That looked really good.
Yeah, it was the really nice decor. I really like what they did with the place. So it was nice. And the food was good. The food was good. The Pier 23 Kitchen is supposed to be opening up this week.
Oh, yes, that's so great. It's this week it's happening?
I've tried to get in there like 3 times, and I just, like, every time I go there, they just got a shipment of something that they have to, like, take care of. Then I went back, and they literally, there was 17 people. They're having a meeting for their thing there, and the guy's been very nice. And he said, please come back, you know, come back. I'm so sorry that we're busy that time. I want you to come back, and I have to get back in
there. Right, and maybe just try to schedule. Do you have an email for him?
It's just, you know how it's hard for me to schedule things with my job, especially with such mild weather all last week.
Right.
It's tough for me to get away.
Right.
But I'm going to get, I promise, you will have something from...
Yes, we want to see.
We will have something from
we want to see.
Pier 23 Kitchen. I love, and Kate mentioned this too, I love whoever is doing their design work on their menus and their... I love their new sign.
Oh, yes.
It's very classy, understated. Everything is like...
Nice.
They do it. It's very, very nice. Nice look there.
I hope somebody fixes the curtains there, because I'm so tired of driving by there and seeing curtains that are 6 inches too short. So I hope whoever is in there does something with the god-awful curtains there for
6 inches too short. I never noticed.
Oh, it's horrible.
Really?
Oh, it just drives me crazy.
I don't know.
When you have a window... The curtains, unless they're like half cafe curtains or something like that, they should at least be almost to the edge or a half an inch shorter. They should not be look like they came from your grandmother's, you know, attic, and somebody just hung them there. And
yikes.
You know.
Well, you know what? If they're the same curtains as the former owners, I was there when they actually had someone, I think, come in there and do the curtons. So I don't know if they...
Wow.
Design person there might have messed up. I'm not sure.
Maybe she got them from the attic.
Jesus.
Or she didn't put the rod in the right place or something. So
I'm going to bore everybody with my Spar Minowax tongue oil.
Those look beautiful.
Don't they look nice?
Yeah,
so
they look really
this past year, I've you know, everybody knows about my obsession with Weber grills and everything.
Oh, really?
And wood finding these wood tables and restoring them. So last year it was about the wood tables, and I put it out there. What would you use to bring back the luster or to finish these for this particular use outdoors? And we got a lot of people chiming in. And what I ended up going with for those wooden tables was spar varnish.
Okay.
And you helped me quite a bit to decide. And I finished that.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
It was a $15 table that I got at a yard sale.
It looked like...
I still love it. It's such a gorgeous piece.
And it looks so... it looks really lacquered. I mean, it's really...
Right. I put like 8 coats on there. And it was really fun
beautiful.
To do.
Yeah.
Now, I have these wood handles, they're mahogany, David Calvo told me, for Weber grills to replace old dried-up ones.
He made these.
He milled them for me and everything. And I was wondering what I should put on them. And
can I see one up close?
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
So my thought process was the spar varnish it's a finish that kind of goes over the wood. It's a protect it, yeah. to protect it and, yeah. and everything, and has some UV protectant and stuff like that. But when that scratches or gets thin, right. it's gonna dull.
Right.
And I had another table that I finished with this tongue oil,
yeah.
and all I did was I lightly sanded it, and I, with a rag, just you just wiped it on. And the more coat you do, the darker the grain, it soaks in and everything else.
The grain becomes very prominent.
The grain becomes very prominent. But yeah. the ease of applying yeah. it is so over the top. Mm-hmm. So my thought process for the wooden handles was, because it's so easy to reapply, right. that once it's a 2 minute thing,
right? And then you would do it like again in a year.
In a year,
yeah.
I just
yeah.
take the bottle of cheap tongue oil
right.
with a rag and yeah. just reapply it.
Right. You could probably do all your grills at one time. You
yes.
know what I mean? Just like go through and do them all at one
right.
time.
Right. As opposed to the spar varnish, so the tongue oil soaks into the wood.
Right.
The spar varnish goes like onto the wood.
Yeah.
You know, and is like kind of coats it.
And both are probably a very good protectants, because by going in the oil going into the wood
absolutely
keeps it from getting dried out.
Right. But in the end, my thought was that to redo it, it's just so much easier with the tongue oil.
With the tongue oil.
So yeah. that's my that's,
well, anyways, David did a really nice job. He could have a little business.
I don't think there's enough money in them
yeah.
to for the time it takes to do that.
Well, if he was making a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's telling Pablo Picasso to paint paint Captain Joe's sign.
Right. Well, everybody needs their little bread and butter projects, right? Every That's artist it. Needs their bread and butter right. projects as well.
Right. So. We want to do a shout out to David Joyner. And why don't you tell the story, because this is your story.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Gloucester Daily Times, mm-hmm. and I think in the last couple of years, I've always enjoyed it, and especially enjoyed it. And I do think that has a lot to do with Andrea Holbrook.
Oh, definitely.
but David Joyner was just named executive editor for all the North of Boston, for Boston Media Group, North of Boston Media Group is, and everybody I'm sure knows his name because he was a former editor for the Gloucester Daily Times. And he's been working in Alabama at the parent company, and now he's back here. So he's...
Congratulations to David Joyner.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Times has actually gotten even better.
Yeah,
the last couple of years.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I really do think so.
I think, what's that guy's name? Sean Horgan does a good job.
Yeah, I think he does a good job. You know, of course, I think Gail McCarthy. We all worship Gail McCarthy.
Gail McCarthy's amazing. Right. I think Ray as a writer.
He's great. Andrea Holbrook, I love her.
We love. Yeah. Andrea is our favorite.
Yes.
And Gail.
Yeah.
Andrea and Gail.
Yes.
I can. I'll write
Even
Gail
though we like everybody.
Absolutely.
We enjoy everybody, but.
How do you spell Gail McCarthy? Is it M-A-C-C?
It's
M C. Small C?
Yeah.
Small C,
better,
big C?
Yeah, but just double check, please.
Okay.
Don't get me in
trouble. All right, Gail.
Oh, yeah, I was so embarrassed. Like, I...
Oh, Morgan Fields Pike, not Morgan Fields Pike.
Pike, right. And then the next boo-boo that I did was, I spelled ephemeral wrong, and it was like... I think that went out as the top post, and I was like, oh my God, what did I do? So I went back and changed it on Facebook and changed it on my post, but then you can't change it.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm in such a big hurry, and when I'm in a big hurry, that's when I, and in the titles don't do spell check.
All right,
just
just so everybody knows, we're dummies. Listen, whatever. But here's the thing. So we were supposed to have the people from Gloucester... Gloucester Marine Genomics Institute
right.
to come in and talk today. And the woman has been diagnosed with...
Pneumonia.
Very serious pneumonia.
Right.
They are going to try to get in here when we come back from our hiatus, Joey's hiatus.
Yeah.
And So okay. There's that.
All right, we'll look forward.
We're looking
that.
Forward to them. Okay. If they don't come in the next time we invite them,
no.
I'm gonna write them off the list.
No, don't.
They're dead to me.
No, they're dead.
No, I'm joking. No, but I've reached out to them 5 times so far. I want them on here.
We want them on. Is that
because it's exciting to me.
Is that a line from The Godfather? They're dead to me. You know why I asked?
I have to look it up.
No, I asked because, so I was listening to the radio the other day, and it's like some huge anniversary of The Godfather. It can't be the 50th, but it's some huge anniversary of The Godfather. And they were talking about how so many lines from that
are just
how it's just become so much a part of our culture that it was, I don't know what anniversary is it. It's some anniversary of the original Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
And are you finding that out?
No.
You're dead to me.
No. I'm
it's not coming up.
I have to, you know how, I have I'm on a tight thing right now, so I'm trying to multitask right now. I'm trying to, I don't know if I'm going to be able to multitask. Anyway.
We're going to put our readers to sleep, so we better stop multitasking.
We're going to stop multitasking and stop clicking. You can't hear my incessant clicking. Kim, thanks for coming in on short notice. GloucesterCast 220. Thanks, Kim.
Yeah.
Thank you.